I would like to turn to John, the third chapter. I've shared with you before, I really like the book of John. John was one of the original apostles. Not that Mark and Luke, they were not, but that doesn't belittle stuff that they wrote, because the Holy Spirit inspired all of the authors of the Bible. But just something about having John there. And John emphasizes the spiritual side of Jesus Christ, his divinity, and the things about him, where Matthew emphasized the things as far as the prophecy and the Jewish side of Christ. And then Mark talked about miracles, and Luke talked about the humanity, Luke the doctor of Jesus Christ. But John is more into the spiritual aspects of Jesus Christ. John 3:1, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a root of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus came by night. He's mentioned three other times in the Bible. One time when he's talking to the Sanhedrin, does our law allow anyone to be condemned without a review of the law, without him speaking? Then later on comes to claim the body and brings spices to anoint the body. All three times he's mentioned coming by night, as if he was afraid to be seen, a secret disciple, but he came to Jesus Christ. He came to learn more about him, where the other Jews basically did not. John, first chapter, he came in his own, and his own received him not, but has received him, gave him power to become them, power to become the sons of God, which were born not of flesh or blood, but of the will of man, but of God. The vast multitude of the Jews did not receive Jesus because he didn't fit their mold, didn't come there wanting to be one who's going to defeat the Romans and set up the throne of David once again. They were looking for a military leader, and because he didn't fit that mold, they rejected him. And yet some did. As many as received him, gave he them power, which gave them manifestly they might be named as sons of God. And Nicodemus was one. Nicodemus, the others would reject him. Nicodemus came, even though he came by night. He came, "Surely, surely thou must be of God, else these miracles, you couldn't be doing them." Now, isn't it funny how so many of the Jewish members of the leadership, the Jewish nationality, saw the same miracles. They saw everything that was done, and yet it didn't move them one bit. They just said, "Oh, so big deal. Big deal." Even Lazarus being resurrected from the dead, all the Jewish leaders wanted to say was, "Let's kill him. Because of him, many are believing on Jesus Christ and are threatening our leadership position." And so they said, "We want to get rid of Lazarus." They didn't see the great miracle. They didn't see what had been done here. And so Nicodemus says, "Surely you must be a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that I do us except God be with him." Now, he came far short of giving him the honor, the position that he had. He says, "You're a teacher." Well, he was the Son of God. Was, is, always will be. But Nicodemus gave him this role about as good as he could think and high as he could think. A teacher come from God, and you're doing great miracles. That's some evidence that something had happened to Nicodemus that had not happened to other individuals. As I said, many saw the same things, but Nicodemus was one of the few. He came on his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, gave him power to become the sons of God. So Nicodemus was one of those few. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Where does the term born again come from? The Bible. A lot of media, entertainment, books, TV, movies, talking about born again and kind of make fun of it as if it's a man-made connotation. It's Bible. It's God's way of expressing the work of the Holy Spirit, a change, a regeneration, a turning from sin, a turning from a desire to be of the world, a hunger and thirst for spiritual things. This new birth is depicted by like a baby being born. You know, the baby is passive in this birth process. We are passive in regeneration, and we're active in obedience. That's the distinction. Many in the world would say being active in obedience then gets you to be born again. So the question, which comes first, a desire for spiritual things, a spiritual life, or the new birth? Does doing things, trying to achieve things, does that give you the new birth? Or is this the result of the new birth? Being born again, does this do something for you? The Lord answers that, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saw the kingdom of God. He said, here's a man doing miracles. Here's a man doing great supernatural things. You must be of God. You're a teacher from God. You must be. And he was seeing the kingdom of God. The Lord asked the disciples, Matthew 16, whom do people say that I am? And say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elias, some say that Jeremiah. But who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord says, blessed art thou, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That is the new birth. The only way Peter would leave his fishing nets, the only way John would leave the things he was doing, his fishing, the only way Matthew would leave his receipt of customs, the only way all of his first disciples there would leave what they were doing was that they had seen something, and the only way they saw something, they saw the kingdom of God, was that they had been born again. In order to see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Well, like many people, when they hear things of spiritual nature, they get very, very confused. It stirs them up. The head begins to spin somewhat. Talk about these things which to many people seems very, very complicated, very dark, very, very deep, trying to figure this out. And Nicodemus was like this. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus didn't understand. See, you don't have to understand everything to believe it. I think Nicodemus came saying, you must be of God. Now, you told me some things I don't understand. I'm kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. Some things I don't understand that I'm reading here about a lamb being led to the slaughter. I don't understand this. And then Philip explained it to him. He needed to know this that his joy might be full. Nicodemus says, born again? I came out of my mother's womb. I was born. Now, are you saying that somehow I got to squeeze back in there again and I got to come out again? Well, that's impossible, of course. Well, it is possible God could happen, but that's not what the Lord was talking about. And to me, his answer after this is one of the keys that answers what many people have misunderstood about being born again. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There are some people who say water in the Spirit is baptism, saying that you are baptized. Being baptized in gets you born in the Spirit and you become part of the new birth. Some have said it's talking about regeneration, maybe. We are talking about the washed with regeneration, that this is a picture of a washing of regeneration. But to me, just a simple wording here, Nicodemus had a question about birth, being born naturally, and then doing it again. Well, the Lord says, no, you're born naturally, born of water. Born of water, when you are birth is given, there's a bag of waters. The water breaks and then the action starts. The water comes forth when a baby is born. Brother Glenn back there told me that under his rotation that he did some obstetrics. He says sometimes about the only thing you have to grab is an umbilical cord. They're slippery coming out. But there's water involved here. And so the Jews had expression, as I understand, that being born, water involved, it's coming out, and as the bag of water breaks, and there's water involved in this being born naturally. And so Nicodemus had a question. Must I be born a second time naturally? And the Lord says, no. First time by water, being born naturally, forget that. One time, over and done. One and done. You're not going to do that again. But then a second time, you are born spiritually. There is a work on your heart, a work on your nature. It is this new birth that enables you, Nicodemus, to see that I am of God. Other people can see it. But you are born naturally. You are born of water. And you have been born spiritual. You have been born of the very Spirit of God. And therefore, you can see that I am of God. I'm, in your verbiage, a teacher come from God. A man must be born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. If all you have been born of is of the water, natural birth, then you are flesh. You have been born of flesh. You are driven by fleshly desires, fleshly instincts. That is your natural state. You are a man with carnal desires. You have no hunger and thirst for spiritual things. But it says then, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two things, being born naturally and then being born of the Spirit, gives you the ability then to do spiritual things because you have got spiritual life. Ephesians 2 and 1, Paul says, you have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. If you're dead, you cannot do anything. You are only born, naturally born of the water, born from a natural standpoint. And therefore, that's the only thing you have interest in. You're dead spiritually. But if you're quickened, born of the Spirit of God, you hath he quickened. It's a work of God independently of the work of the sinner. The sinner is passive in this, just as Nicodemus was passive in this ability to come and inquire of the Lord. That's what motivated him to come and inquire, surely thou must be of God because of the miracles that you are doing. Many people saw the miracles but did not care about it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. He explained it to Nicodemus. He said, here, Nicodemus, I know you're confused, but take my word for it. Flesh and spirit, two different things. The one who's only born of the flesh, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to him. He has no interest in spiritual things. But those who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is a work that God has done in your heart. I don't know if Nicodemus caught on completely, but we know that later on he shows up, put his strength on, put his bravest face on, and went to the Sanhedrin and began to argue and debate on behalf of Jesus Christ concerning the law and not condemning a man before he had been tried. And then after he was crucified, going to claim his body and to bring ointment to him. He was brave, even though he was coming at night. Even though he wasn't a great carrier of some sort of signs or wearing some sort of outward demonstration, but he was showing that he did believe. And what Christ told him, I think, was very beneficial to him, and he was very much encouraged by this new birth and the story and the reasons for the new birth. And the Lord continues, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, cannot tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Two pictures here, the new birth and wind, the heavenly wind. You can see, you could see the trees blowing, see the results of where the wind is, but you can't really control it. Even nowadays, we can perhaps try to predict where a tornado is going to hit or a hurricane is going to hit, and we're not 100% successful with that. All the tools they have, they miss about as many times as they get it. But definitely they cannot control it. You see the results of it, you see the evidences of it, but you can't control it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, why is this so important for us to know and to preach about? I'm sure most people think, well, they preach about the new birth an awful lot. Well, first thing is, it is the distinction as far as Primitive Baptists among most other religions. Most other religions are going to teach that you do something, and then as a result of doing something, then you get born again. Well, what that does is give glory and honor and credit to the thing that you did and to the one who talked you into doing whatever you did in order to get born again. It takes away the glory from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, "If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord." That's the reason that we want to talk about the new birth and how it comes about biblically, honestly, spiritually. That is something which is done for us by God in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it is the work that is done because of the love and mercy of God. See, we can never walk around saying, "Well, I'm in heaven and I'm here because of what I did. I'm glad the Lord did his part. I'm glad that he was willing to go to the cross. But, you know, if I hadn't done my part, I wouldn't be here." What that does, it says that your part is equal to his part. And that's blasphemous. That's taking the glory away from God and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason we want to preach this is because it's the truth, because it gives honor and glory to God. There is a business out there which will raise big funds in order to get more people born again, and then the ones who are fundraisers become very important people with big titles, and it's basically a man-made corporation, a man-made business, if you take that view of it, that being born again is something which is generated from within by humans. Well, then it becomes very reasonable. Yes, let's raise a lot of money, let's do a lot of things in order to get more people born again. But that's not the truth. The truth is that being born again is God's work. Our work is to teach and provoke one another to good works. Like I mentioned to you, there are three reasons we come to church. First is to learn about God, to worship God, maybe worship God first, learn about God and Jesus Christ, and to be provoked. That doesn't sound like a good thing, but the book of Hebrews says to not forsake the assembling ourselves together as a manner of some is, but to provoke one another to good works, to provoke one another to love and to good works. So we, as a church, come together to provoke, to encourage, one another to engage in good works, not to achieve the new birth, but because you have been born again. That's the only reason you'll have any interest in doing good works. And that is what glorifies the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Setting forth conditions to the new birth, saying those must be satisfied first. Well, that takes away glory. The primitive Baptists, the message we proclaim, gives all the glory to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he was successful, the Holy Spirit was successful, God was successful, God loved a great multitude, Christ died for that same multitude, and the Holy Spirit has quickened them, has given them spiritual life, has given them a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Nicodemus lived out his life. He suffered, I think, because of standing up for the things that are right. And you and I may suffer because of standing up for some things that are right, because that's just the way it is. The world hates this message. The world would rather have a message saying that it's dependent upon men. I think the purpose of the church is to promulgate this message, that we are very blessed here. I'm kind of in the middle here and got mixed feelings about a pavilion. That's nice. And pavilions are nice. And it's good to get together and to have fun. But I think our main mission is to share the good news about a successful Jesus Christ. The church of Laodicea bragged about being rich and increased with goods, and we are kind of in that situation here. The Lord has blessed us to pay off a church building, and money is still being contributed, and that money needs to be used for good things, and I think it's good to do things like that. But I think priority should be getting the message out about a successful Savior. Job one, get that message out, either through things we put in the mail, radio, things in the paper, to let people know about what the Primitive Baptists believe that glorifies the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our purpose, to provoke one another to good works, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Any other way, we become inbred. We only look to ourselves. We say, well, we got a few people come to church. That's okay. We can still pay for the lights. Everything's working okay. We can build a few things and for our own enjoyment. But it's all turning inward. And the Lord said to the church of Laodicea, you're lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because you're distasteful to me. I would never want us to be like that. I would always want us to keep our mission in front of us, that we come here to worship God, to learn about Christ and his instructions for us, and to be provoked into good works, that we might do what's necessary in order to let this community here know what we're about. Years ago, I went to church in Forest, Atlanta, Forest Church. I was there on a business meeting. I went out for a Wednesday evening service. Got there a little early, and there was a restaurant there near the church. And so I went to the restaurant, and I asked the waitress, I said, what do you know about this church over here? She said, well, the only thing I know about it is awful hard to get to be a member. I don't know if that's the reputation that we want. It's awful hard to get to be a member. You wonder what people think about us. Snake handlers, speaking in tongues. You know, what did they really know? I think one thing our resources could be used for would just simply to correct any misapprehensions about what we are about. And the whole, not to glorify us and not to make a big name for us, but to glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord doesn't like big towers built to make a name for ourselves. Babel, let's build a tower and we build it up, and we make a big name for ourselves. May the Lord put a stop to that real quick by simply confusing some languages here. And we don't want confused languages. We don't want to have an uncertain sound to the trumpet. We want the certain sound of a successful Savior. I was ordained a minister back in 1976. And I said, well, one of the very, very lesser advantages of being a preacher, I had a wife, two teenage daughters, and a yappy poodle. I said, one of the advantages is you can stand for about 40 minutes and talk without being interrupted. Well, I hope I haven't gone to meddling here. But there's some things to think about, that we have got the opportunity to use resources, but to use them well and to use them in a godly function. I hope you get home that you'll get your Bible out and you read about those seven churches, first and second chapter of the book of Revelation, and see what the Lord had to say about them and see how Bethel Church fits in there. I hope they were not Laodicea. I hope they were Sardis. I hope were some of these other churches that had a little bit better reputation. But you know, the Lord is judging. The Lord is seeing. It's not what other people think about us. It's what the Lord thinks about us. That is what's important. May God bless you. God is close in him, Brother Junior.